Okay. So here's the framing for, and we can do as much of this general topic as you want. It's three pages. I don't know what you're thinking.
Oh. Cool.
We can do as much or as little of this as you want. It's a very broad topic. But here's the big question. Here's the broad topic that I want to talk about. And again, this has a lot of ramifications, and I think understanding this is critical to really understanding the extent of Psak. And fundamentally, we've talked for the last few months about the extent to which non-poskim are involved in the halachic process. But there's really a fundamental question they have to ask. Is okay, even if we've now cleared out a lot of the issues that we talked about. The printer is very strange, this new printer. I don't know what you want from me. Even if you get past the issues we've talked about, when can you poskin for yourself? How much do you need to know? When are you biased? What is considered psak? And all that stuff, right? What if you have access to information? There's an even bigger set of questions, which is, okay, what things are outside of the purview of psak? Period. Right? Meaning, there's this other question, which is, okay, that's all psak, but aren't there a lot of things which aren't subject to psak? Or, more controversially, or more complicated, I should say, things that are within the halachic framework, but are still not quite psak shilas. Now, what do I mean? Well, no, I don't mean minhag. So here's what I mean, right? And again, this is why this is a very broad topic. At one aspect of this sort of meta question is all the things that go under the, I'll use the general term in sort of conventional speech, but without the halacha one is what?
Umbrella?
Yes, but that's conventionally used under the umbrella term of what? Of Das Torah.
Das Torah.
Right, meaning the Das Torah question, right? The question of, are there things, or which things are under the purview of Psak, is a very major question you need to answer to figure out, okay, well, right, what exactly is my role? The more expansive notions that sometimes you hear of people saying, talking about Das Torah, would lead you to believe that...
it's binding.
Yeah, it's binding, and that whatever authority there is to a posek extends way beyond halachic literature. We'll hold off on that for a minute.
Like Das Rev.
But there is a subset of halachic questions where I think you really have to go to first. Because Das Torah, at the end of the day, that's questions that we're acknowledging are not halachic per se. And then the question is, to what extent does rabbinic authority extend to those areas? But there's one area in which, or one set of areas, in which halacha clearly extends, and it's still not clear that poskim are involved. Now, does that say, what am I talking about? And here's something, and here's really the introduction to it. Every psak, by definition, is a combination of two things. Analysis of the theoretical material, however you get there, right? The balancing of understanding the basic sugya and understanding the precedent and balancing minhag and the three factors that you know about. But the other thing is, as we've said, is application.
Yeah.
Now, that sounds really easy, but it's not. Not at all. So let me give you an example, and then we'll get to sort of the basics here. But, you know, suddenly sort of telescope. A medical shaila. Okay? So, everyone agrees that this is a purely halachic question. Can you eat on Yom Kippur? Can you be Machal Shabbos? Etc. That's a purely halachic question. The problem is that... In order to figure out whether it's mutter, the principles are pretty easy. Yeah. If it is Pikuach Nefesh, right, if the life is in danger, then you can be Machal Shabbos. How do you figure out whether something is Pikuach Nefesh? So, the Gemara asks this question. The Gemara says, well, what happens if a doctor says it's not Pikuach Nefesh? And the patient says, I'm going to die if I don't eat on Yom Kippur. What's the halacha?
You listen to the patient.
You listen to the patient. You listen to the patient. It's a Gemara, Mifreshet. This is not even a machloket. This is a Gemara. Right? It's a Gemara. What does that tell you? That tells you that there are areas of halacha where a rabbi can say whatever he wants, right? A doctor can say whatever he wants. And at the end of the day, the psak, in terms of the local question, what will you do, is fully in the hands of the non-posig, the balabas, the non-expert, no matter what you think about all the halachic things.
Well, isn't that just the messias is in the hand of the...
Good. Except if you're dealing in the level of psak, right, you're dealing in practical psak, the messias is really important.
Sure.
Because it's very nice to be a lamed. And this is what I'm saying. This is this whole area of things. Now, this gets very tricky. It's because it's not just medical. Medical is one thing. And then you've got to figure out, okay, what if it's something else? What if it's the patient has no opinion? Well, how do you determine the Matthias? And I've talked about this before. There are different models. Do you say, and maybe we'll look at these inside, but do you say, okay, the rabbi is responsible for determining the halacha and the Matthias, and therefore he has to figure out a rubric by which to gauge the Matthias? Or is the rabbi's job to say, here are the principles. Now you go find your own doctor. That's a big difference.
Right. Or bring me the Matthias.
Or bring me the Matthias. They're all different models. The exact same logical argument, you want to now take it to the macro, was... The machlok was 50% of the machlok is in the land for peace machlokot. Half of it was is maintaining the land of Eretz Israel. Does that override pikuach nefesh? That was half the machlokas. The other half of machlokas was, even if you think it doesn't override pikuach nefesh, who determines what is pikuach nefesh? Is it the rabbi? Is it the voters? Is it the Knesset? Is it the security officials? The army? Who gets to decide? And yes, from a lumdish perspective,
doesn't really matter.
You'd say, well, all that matters is the principle. But when we're talking about psak, we're talking about practical psak, you can't just say, well, the posik is just a lam dun, right? You have to say, okay, but who is responsible for figuring out how this theory plays out in practice? And you could theoretically give a tremendous amount of leeway to non-poskim simply by giving them that aspect of psak. But now let me get even more controversial, and then let's look at the makara. And then, again, how many of these you want to look inside is up to you. Okay? But this is the basics of it. Here's a controversial one. Let's say a posik says this would be mutter if you did it for the right reasons. But if you do it for the wrong reasons, then it is yuara. It is marbu machlokes. It is misusing a mitzvah, whatever principle they're going to put behind it. And I think you're doing it for the wrong reasons. Now, this happens all the times in women's issues.
Right? Women's issues,
this is a huge question. Right? Because poskim don't just say, I think this is a problem. They think it's a problem because I think you are doing it for feminism. And apparently that's a halachic category. Okay?
You are actually. Or not.
No. They say feminism. I kid you not. Rav Shechter says that things that are done for feminism are yeharig val yavor because it's chukas akum, and chukas akum is abu zrayu of avodah zarah. Okay?
What? Feminism
is abu zarah. First of all,
it's not true. No, it's abu zrayu of avodah zarah, but it's yeharig val yavor according to the Ron. Another point.
Really?
What?
According to the Ron, it's yeharig val yavor?
Abu zrayu?
What is
Abuzrayu? Abuzrayu are derivatives.
Oh.
Right? But saying it's chukas akum, then saying feminism is borrowed from that, and then it's, so it's Abuzrayu, so it's hard to go out for. But this type of argument, which Rav Shechter has made in so many situations, that Adam Furziger wrote a academic paper just tracing the things which Rav Shechter has called the Harag Val Yavor and ascribed to. It's a very interesting phenomenon, the way he takes this sociologically, but I don't want to get into the politics so much. Much to point out is there's an assumption there, which is that the job of the posek isn't just to tell you principles, which you can agree or disagree with the lumdus there, that following social philosophical trends is chukas akum, and chukas akum is abu zrayu. That's all very interesting lumdus. But there's another question that I'm worried about here, which is,
whether she's doing,
let's say, all that lumdus is true.
Right.
When Rav Shechter paskins and says it's usur, he's asserting a claim about reality, which is, this is what you think, and this is why you are doing it. And if someone says, no, it's not, and someone says, look, I totally agree with you, I agree with your lumdus, I buy this fancy schmancy lumdus of Abu Zrayu, of Chukas Akum of Abu Zara, I get it, but it's not why I'm doing it. So then what? Does his authority just dissipate on the issue? Right? These are issues that are very important limaisa when you talk about what does... And this is why I think this issue sort of, right, in certain ways bleeds into the Das Torah thing. Because the Das Torah question is a question of, are there certain things which are clearly not halachic, but are still under rabbinic purview? This question of, to what extent is that application side under rabbinic authority, and to what extent is it not? And therefore, a rabbi may under certain circumstances, be entitled to grant, to explain principles, but can't actually determine what the result will be, right? That already begins to break down this notion that, right, if you believe that this is not his purview. So what I want to do is try to understand, is this the case? Okay, so here's a piece by Reb Lichtenstein. Reb Lichtenstein quotes something from the Rav, who quotes it from his father, from Moshe Soloveitchik, which, if true, would limit in a very significant way the way we think about the role of a posek. And the corollary to that would be, puts a lot of the practical decision-making, if not the lumdish decision-making, back in the roles of everybody else, back in the hands of everybody else. So this is what he writes. Personal judgment may be relevant with respect to an additional factor. The Rav once quoted his father, Ramosha Zal, to the effect that the nature of Psak was drastically changed when formal classical smicha was terminated. Originally, a samoch, at least on the Rambam's view that smicha applies to Harat, Isser v'Heter as well as to Din, would pronounce a decision that was binding by dint of his authoritative fiat. Now, however, the posek's personal status has been vitiated, and with it, the standing of his decisions. Now, he essentially serves as a reference guide, providing reliable information about what the tradition and sources properly understood and interpreted state. But it is they, rather than he, that bind authoritatively. This is a radical thesis, both conceptually and practically, with potential momentous implications for the implementation of halacha. Legal decisions obviously entail two components: elucidation of the code or the rule and assessment of the particular situation to which it is applied. Juridic authority is ordinarily empowered to deal with both components, and the obligation to submit to its dicta encompasses both. One violates, thou shalt not deviate, lo tasrim min hadavar she'yigid lecha yemin u'smal, the injunction from the sentence from which that they shall declare unto thee to the left or the right, by challenging his engine's factual determination no less than by rejecting his theoretical conclusion. Yet if one accepts Ramosha's contention, this ought not to be the case with respect to late periods. If a posek is only an interpretive reference guide to halachic sources, one might accept his rendering of the content of the halachic corpus, but rely upon one's own judgment in evaluating the facts. So, Rav Aaron quotes from Moshe Soloveitchik that this is the difference between smicha and the Sanhedrin and any later authority. When you are invested with a chalotz shem samuch,
right,
so then you are given the power to be a posek by definition. And therefore, your both your determination of the lamdos and your determination of the metzius are granted the authority of your status. But he claims that post-Talmud, or post-Samuch, or post-Sanhedrin, that's not true. Without that God-granted personal status, essentially, right, your authority derives from your ability to compellingly understand the sugyas. But therefore, your role as posek is to determine the lumdus, to determine the halacha, the theoretical halacha. But the lima'aseh, that's not your role. That is in the hand of, well, whoever. Now, this is quite extreme, if you really take this al hasof, because like I said, what that could do is anybody could theoretically just say, look, the reason I don't disagree, let's take a million issues, okay? And these are issues that come up all the time.
Yeah.
I remember 30 years ago, my parents didn't check vegetables. What are they all telling me? I've never seen a bug. Right, so the cautious organizations will kick in, scream and yell and say, oh, there are bugs.
I catch them all the time when I'm checking.
I'm not saying there are or there aren't. I want to play out the type of machlokas that would happen. Right? According, if this principle is right, what can somebody say? What do you mean? I totally agree with the OU, Star K, whatever, on their lomdus. Right? I agree, if it's a miyot hamatsui, so then you have to check. If it's muchzak, then you're not allowed to eat it. If it's a miyot sheino matsui, I don't have to check. Elomai, they think it's matzoi, and in my strawberries, I don't see anything. So what are you telling me? That there are bugs in my strawberries? I buy your lumdus, but I don't see bugs. Right? This is the type of thing that an analysis like this would lead to. And you realize that, yes, from the vantage point of being a lamdan, you'll say, well, who cares who determines the mitzvahs? But from a vantage point of practical psak, right, if we're thinking now in psak, we're thinking about how does halach actually function in the real world, not in the base medrash where nobody cares about the nafkaminas. The nafkaminas are a way of testing mitzvahs.
There still could be lumdus, like in
whether you give the authority to the...
There's meta-lumbus.
Yeah.
Right? There's meta-lumbus
about this issue.
Oh, we'll get to that. But my point is that if this thesis is correct, the practical ramifications for who gets to lemaisa determine the bottom line, and whether that's fully in rabbinic hands or not, right, if this is true, it shifts the authority very much back into the hands of everybody, because they can say, look, I totally agree with the OU in theory, I just have never seen a bug. And by the way, intuitively, a lot of the people who don't check their vegetables, right, that's exactly what they do. They're not claiming to know the lumdos better. What are they saying? I've never seen a bug.
Right.
It's very nice. You've done your lumdos. Yeah, it's very nice. But I've never seen a bug. Why do I need a light box to look for bugs that aren't there?
Oh, you definitely don't need a light box.
I'm not saying you do and you don't. You don't. I'm not saying you do and you don't. You obviously, don't. That's not the point.
You do, though. So why do we have to buy this thesis, I guess?
Ah, I didn't say we did. So, Rav Lichtenstein says, I don't believe this. So look, again, this is Rav Moshe Soloveitchik's thesis. And Rav Lichtenstein argues, it's too radical. It's too radical. He says the application of the dichotomy to the contemporary scene would neutralize much of the critique of modern orthodoxy, but it would also neutralize much else. And I think that one should be reluctant to grant legitimization upon so radical a thesis. On the other hand, it certainly ought not to be dismissed entirely. It can be borne in mind as an auxiliary factor, a concept we can appreciate by anyone familiar with the byways of Psak. Concurrently, in a far more modest vein, one could harness the element of factual evaluative capacity. Oh my God. It's every time I read it, I'm like, yeah, I don't know English compared to it. Like, anyways, to our previous discussion concerning the selection of a pole star.
Which star points to stars.
But the way he's using it is like a person by which you lead your life. But that's what he means.
Yes.
That's the concept and then it's applied to it.
What an example.
Yeah, because he refers to the Rav as the pole star who bestrode the contemporary world like a colossus or something like that. He's a very fancy term for the Rav. Very good. Which is borrowed, that term is borrowed from Shakespeare, I think. Someone's going to correct me. Could be. I don't know. Rav Lichtenstein says, I don't think I buy it on a sof. He says, I partially buy it, but I really don't buy it fully. It's not true. Meaning, can it really be...
He's saying, like, it would just create chaos. So.
Well, he also says it's not true. How does he know it's not true? What's his argument that it's not fully true?
Because the Sanhedrin, it wasn't true for the Sanhedrin.
Good, it wasn't true for the Sanhedrin, but also... As much as we like to be lamdanim and we think of a posek as someone who sits in the base medrash and theorizes, that's not true.
He's giving up practical halacha.
He's giving practical halacha. And how does the Gemara itself describe poskim? So he says, he quotes this, the Gemara in number 2. V'amar Rav, shmona asar chadashim gidalti etzel roa behema lidai zemum kavo vezemum over. Rav said, I spent 18 months hanging out by a shepherd so I could figure out which blemishes in a bechor were permanent and which one were temporary to determine what was a mum kavu, a mum over, and therefore upon which you could shech the bechor.
Nice. 18 months.
And Rav Lichtenstein says, I don't understand. Right? I don't understand. If you think that Moshe is right, that post Sanhedrin, like Mitzius, poskim just deal with lumdos, and then Mitzius is whatever, then why are poskim spending? Why does the Gemara describe the role of poskim as spending so much time to immerse themselves in Mitzias? A good posek tries to understand Mitzias, and we all know this. Right? We all know that the people we trust on medical shilas, who are the leading medical poskim in the world? So, there are people like Dr. Right, Tendler, who has a PhD in biology. Right, Dr. Steinberg, who is a... like. I forget exactly, pediatric neuro-oncologist or something like that at Shari Tzedek, right? Dr. Abraham S. Abraham, Nishman Avram, who is the head of some department in Shari Tzedek, and a Talmud of Rishon Zalman Orbach, and so is Rai Steinberg. Or post-game who evidence real understanding of the Mitzvahs. Right? Why is it that Rishon Zalman was so influential in electricity? Because he wrote Ma'ari Eish, where he showed complete mastery of the inner workings of electricity, because he spent months talking to physicists and talking to whoever, engineers, and understanding what is electricity, how does it work practically, v'chulei. poskim who you read them, and you're like, what mitzvah are you living in? You just say, okay, you know, right? The good poskim understand mitzvah and know how to determine it. Right? There's a reason. So Lechonin says it can't be, and he says, I'll prove it to you further. Why does the Gemara say that halacha kirav be isur and halacha kishmul be mamon? Because Rav was an expert in these types of halachot, and Shmuel understood monetary law, right? He understood business, right? Why is it that Ad Hayom, right, the Beis Din of America, which is one of the right, which is one of the most competent but they did in America? Why is it so competent? Because who sits on the Beis Din? So Rabbi Reis, who in addition to being a tremendous Talmud Chacham, is also has a JD from Yale and was the editor of the Yale Law Review, right? You have one person there who has a MBA from Harvard, right? Because you understand that to paskin real shailas requires expertise, and so clearly we don't have this full dichotomy. But Lachman says, but there is a level of truth to it as well, where mitzius is not the job of a posting on the one hand is to try to determine the mitzius, but not in the same way that it is halachically. Right, Clapper likes pointing to the following Gemara, which he considers one of the most dangerous Gemarot in Shas, because it really does, in a certain sense, go to this point. But first I need to introduce it with a different Gemara, so 3 and 4. The Gemara in 3 tells you as follows. Ha'isha shehalach ba'ala l'medinat hayam, uva'u v'amru la'meit ba'alech v'niseit v'achkach ba'ala teitza mizeh mizeh. Okay? If a woman's husband traveled and they come and they say her husband died and she gets married and then her husband comes, she has to get divorced from both. Right, she loses her ksuba, etc. Nisit alpi bezdin, but if bezdin told her you can remarry, teitzei p'tura min hakarban. She does have to get divorced. Obviously, her husband's alive, but she's p'tur from hakarban. Lo nisit alpi bezdin, teitzei v'chayavet b'karban. If she didn't get married alpi bezdin, she has to get divorced. And she needs a karban. And yafe koach bezdin should put poachim in a karban. The koach, obviously, bezdin can't make it that her husband is not alive. He is. But if she remarried alpi, had to the bezdin.
So why doesn't she need a karban then?
So if bezdin pop, because the authority is on bezdin, the fault is on bezdin. Now the Gemara there's what? No, that's only in Paralam Dor Shel Tzipor. So the Gemara then says, what does that mean? What does it mean she lobrish was Bezdin? Means she went against Bezdin? Like Mazid? Like what happened? So what does the Gemara say it is? She lobrish was Bezdin, Ella Beidim. Gemara says this is the following. If there were two witnesses, then it's not considered Bershus Bezdin. You know why? She doesn't need Bezdin. Because two Edim are considered a Raya. And therefore, if two witnesses came, she's allowed to remarry. But it's on her own authority, right? Because she has the Metzius. But if it's one Eid and then they have to make a determination, that's on the authority of Bezdin. But what is it already telling you? That sometimes the Metzius is so clear that, Bezdin's not in the picture. The more dangerous Gemara is the continuation of this sugya, which is the following. Amar Ze'iri, Lesad Limas Nisan, Midatani Be Midrasha. I don't agree with this Mishnah. I don't know what's going on here. Ditani Rebe Midrasha. Horu Beitin Shishakach Amal Vasov Zercha. If Bezdin paskind that the sun has set, and then, right, and therefore Shabbos is over, and then what happens? Surprise! The sun comes back out. Right, it's just very cloudy. Ein zu hora'a ela ta'ut. That's not a psak. That is just a mistake. Rav Nachman amar hora'ahi. Rav Nachman says, no, it is a psak. A mistaken psak, but a psak. Amar Rav Nachman, teide de hora'ahi. V'chodar akula irecha lo mehemen v'hacha mehemen. My time, Allah mishum de hora'ahi. He said, I'll prove it to you. In general, you don't need two witnesses, but for Matthias questions like this, you need one witness. So Amar Rava, Rava says, what are you talking about? Tated the Tau, so obviously it's just a mistake. Dilohor Bezdin Bachalav Uvidam Lahatera, Bahadur Khazu Timali Surah, Kihadri Vamri Latera Lamashkechin Lu. Ilhachad Asa Erechad Sharina, Asu Treya Sarna, Kihadar Asa Erechrina, Sharinan Le. He says, in this case, you know how I know it's a mistake? Because in general, in halacha, Right? It's very hard for us to overturn a sock. Right? Here, you could have 100 witnesses who come and say, the sun set. If one person comes and says, no, it was cloudy, people, then we throw out what everybody before said, and we said, look, it's sunny. Right? Which means that this is not something, I don't care how good, on what good authority you said the sun had set. If one person comes and says, guys, look outside, that's the sun, you throw it out. So the Elamai, so look at the last line. Imkain, ma, right, so the learner said, what do we call this? Yikov ha-din et ahar. V'tchtavi chatat shmeina. Right, that's Rabbi Elazar's formulation of this. Right, Yikov ha-din et ahar. Let judgment pierce the mountain. V'tavi parash chatat shmeina. Let her bring a fat cat, or a fat chatas. Meaning, I really don't care what Beis Din said. The fact is, the sun is out. And therefore, truth has to override, and she's chayevet. There's nothing you can do about it. But what this Gemara is telling you that at a certain level, it is clearly true. That there are limits to what Beis Din can say. There are limits to what a poskim can say. If they are wrong, they are wrong. And there are certain things. And again, as from if you're a lamdan, big deal. So you'll say, fine, I understand. The lamdas, certain things are not telling lamdas, certainly mitzias. But again, when you're talking about practical psad, this is a very dangerous statement by Chazal. Because what it's saying is, what if someone comes in, again, says, I know there aren't bugs. Ma pitom. Right? There aren't bugs. So then, you'd say they're not bound. Or what about the opposite? Right? Someone says, I always hate OU, but they say you don't have to check this. But I know that there are bugs in here all the time. Right. So therefore,
you have to check.
So either you have to check, or it's mukhsak bilam, you can't eat it.
Well, no,
right? If something is mamish mukhsak, you aren't allowed to do anything.
Maybe it's only,
you throw it out.
Yeah, it's only like Beis Din, this Gemara is talking about.
Well, no, this is even Beis Din. This is even Beis Din.
Let's say you know that they, let's say OU says you have to check it, and you say,
no, but this is even Beis Din. The Gemara says certain mitzvahs things, if Beis Din's wrong, they're wrong. Kavachomer or any other posek.
No, I know, I know. But I'm saying the reverse case that you just said, where the OU says that you don't have to check. Don't have the check-in, you say there are bugs in here.
So, there, the well, no, that's this case. That's this case. Beis Din said the sun is set, you say, no,
right,
it hasn't.
I'm saying,
right, no, it hasn't.
Right, I'm saying maybe that only applies to Beis Din.
No, if I cared. If it even applies to Beis Din, then for sure it applies to any posek. Right, if even Beis Din can be wrong on Metzius, then for sure.
Yeah, yeah. No,
so for sure.
Fine. Yeah.
Now, right, Clapper notes, right, now, in when I've heard it from him, he said, you know, this is the most dangerous Gemara in Chas. At a certain level, that is sort of practically true. But he says even more. He says, you want me to prove to you how crazy this is at some level? He said, what would happen in Zuck and Mamre? What if someone, are you telling me the conclusion of this is that a Zuck and Mamre could say Mapito? Right, I'm not arguing. Right, yeah, he's saying I'm not arguing in your lumdus. I just think you got the Matthias wrong. That's right.
Yeah.
Could he do that and say, and I'm not a Zaken Mamre.
Yeah,
I'm not a Zaken Mamre.
Yeah.
Right, isn't that what you're going to say? Right, he says. Right. And he says, what would the Yod say in this case? What would the simple pshat be? Does that person have to continue keeping Shabbos? Yes.
Yeah.
And what if he passed them for someone else? You have to keep Shabbos because he thinks it's just cloudy. He's convinced it's cloudy.
Yeah, that's fine.
He's chayv misa.
No, he's not poskening. He's just telling you the mitzvahs.
Yeah, but so you.
So
but
you are, that
good. Are you willing to put your name behind that? That means that if someone can come and start poskening against Sanhedrin Agadol on the claim that I'm not a Zaken Mamre.
He's telling you the mitzvahs.
Oh, good. And what if Beis Din says, "Excuse me, we poskened. Now what?"
They didn't poskin. They poskin on the wrong mitzvahs.
Good. So, but you understand?
Yeah, that's pretty dangerous here.
Yeah.
But that's what
right. Is that says,
no?
Right? Is that what this is?
Well, how do we go like Rav Nachman or Zahir?
No, we poskin. This is a toes.
So Zahir.
Yeah. So that's theoretically yeah.
So then yeah.
Okay, but you understand how radical it is? Yeah. That's what I'm saying. Now you see this type of distinction in one other place. I'll show you another place where you see this distinction. Beir Eliyahu. Beir Eliyahu. Everyone is bothered by Beir Eliyahu. What is it when we talk about in the Gemara of right of not tekum, which does not mean tishbi entirely kosher by is that what it means? Right, it just means the question shall stand. Tekum, we know that I've mentioned this a million times. Right, tekum.
Where does it come from then?
What?
Random.
Teiku is just Aramaic.
No,
it means it's just
when,
a step.
About that Eliyahu.
I mean, no, but in certain places, the Gemara says, Munachat sheyavo Eliyahu. The Gemara does say that sometimes.
No,
in the Imam
Nosh
cases.
Teiku, like,
I don't know.
Teiku
random people
is,
made up.
But the Teiku isn't that. That's not Teiku. Good.
I'm not asking you.
But the Poskim want to know, why is that a problem?
Where does it... Where did they just made it up, but just like...
Yeah, the Chonim just say it. Or it's nice. It's cute. I don't know. It's cute.
Yeah.
Great. But it's not shot. But sometimes the Gemara really does say, Munachat sheyavo Eliyahu. Guys, but sometimes the Gemara really does say, Munachat sheyavo Eliyahu. So how can Eliyahu weigh in? Okay? Now some... So how can he weigh in? Good. So Martzchius just says, you look at 8. He just says... Right, look, skip to 8 for a second. Martzchius, he just says, look. Right? I don't know. Sorry. He says, Kilo yavo rak levar asveiko. Velo shan min adin asher kavo ba omidetz leinu b'nei shen le yuzal mivo b'dinu b'nei koach nevuato. Said, look, nevu is great for Matzias Shailas. But I don't know the answer, so leave it until Yo comes and he'll figure it out in the boy. That's
not
fine.
What?
No, so he says, Lo B'Shamayim doesn't matter. Why? Because Mitzia, Lo B'Shamayim means Lomdus, means the theory. But if, just like I could determine something using a microscope, so I could use it determining with the Vua, fine. Now, not everyone's comfortable with this. So, Yaakov's in good company, that not everyone loves this. Reb Chanan isn't thrilled with this. He's not so on board with this. And if you look, in two places he discussed this. He writes, "Imkena there are pashas to be surin right lismoch al navi." Go back to 6 now. It says, "Imkena there are pashas to be surin the right lismoch al navi." And Yomer lanu shechaticha he mehamiut harechaticha nikeret viyudun avlo shayach od lismoch al rov klal viilu b'machloket yachid rabban asom klal rabban ashidun al rocha kodesh emet who kamiut. Is it by rov and miut we would pass them like rov even against rocha kodesh and nivu and whatever that's lo b'shamayim. But if he told us the metzius. So we would follow the Navi.
So he agrees.
But then in Chet, he says, V'l'chori yish lidchoda chilu kanal. Maybe not. Right? Maybe not. V'lomar, d'be'emet ha'dalach ram eno chilu klal midin ha'lach achar rov. He said, maybe not. Because rov, maybe certain mitzius things.
That's not what the Gemara says.
Correct. He says, maybe certain things like ha'lach achar rov aren't just the best guess that we have, but they're koveya, how we approach it, and therefore we wouldn't even rely on Nevuah. I don't know. Deino elo beira davar v'lod b'mani baskel levar she'emet hukemiyot. Eino v'shem lachkaram the piske alachol mahani klal achar roach hakodesh ba'afil v'savik shikoladat. So he's not convinced by this. Okay, I'm not. He has another piece. You can look at it. And in 7, he goes so far as to say that what does munachat sheyavo Eliyahu mean in the Mamonos cases where it really sounds like Eliyahu will come and figure out the Matzias, right? That's one of the ways that we are Mevarer Sveikot and Dini Mamonot. So he comes up with this wonderful slur and he says, it's not that Eliyahu will tell us who's lying or not. That's not in his court. You know what he'll do? He'll come, he'll bring the two sides of the court case together, and you know what will happen? The lawyer will say, Gevalt, I'm going to lie to Eliyahu Hanavi. It's his, right? That's what it means, right? It doesn't mean that Eliyahu will, using his Ruach HaKodesh, Nevuah, will clarify reality, Rachman al-Litzlan. It means that he'll shame the people into telling the truth. Again, but what do you see here? Maritzchi is fully comfortable saying, look, there's a distinction at some level between the theoretical halacha and the application. Theoretical halacha is the realm of poskim. Now, I understand. On the one hand, you'll say, oh, well, he's giving the authority to Eliyahu HaNavi, not to a random balabas. But the answer is no. This is the exact that chiluk is the exact same chiluk. It's these are the things that follow the normal rules of psak, and these are the ones that are outside. Whether that means a balabas can paskin, or it means that you can paskin bashamayin. Mm-hmm. Right? Both of those things that are outside the purview of psak is mitzius. Rav Chanan is not convinced by this.
Yeah.
Now, there are a few related issues to this, which I put here, which are not directly related, but they point in a certain direction. And those are, well, part of what's going to convince us that this is true is, do you believe there's such a thing as a machloket in Mitzios, in the Gemara?
No.
Ah, very, So very good. But so let's right. Good. So let's so let's look. Well, why does this matter? Right. This doesn't conclusively prove it, but it's conceptually related. Meaning, if you think that Chazal never argue about Metzius, that's because you think Chazal fundamentally view their role as Lomdus, and Metzius is something that's just applying that. Sure. But if you think that Chazal argue about Metzius, then what does that tell you? That is part of the role of a posek.
Right.
Is actually getting involved Ovia Kora in the psak. So what's so very quickly? I'm gonna do this quickly. So the classic Gemara that people point to is the following. The Gemara has a machlokas in several places as follows: of yesh begidin benosein tam or ein begidin benosein tam. Does the gid hanasha have taste or not? Lamai nafkaminas. There are several different nafkaminas that Gemara talks about. But let's. One of its examples is: are you chayiv on the git hanasha of a non-kosher animal once or twice? So if it's ein begidin benosein tam, then you're only chayiv
once,
right? You're chayiv once for git hanasha, but it's not part of the non-kosher animal because there's no tam, right? If you think yesh begidin benosein tam, you're chayiv twice.
I don't understand the case.
If you have the git hanasha of a non-kosher animal,
a non-kosher animal.
This would be a question in any nosin tam sugya.
Yeah, but the Gemara says the machlokas is yesh or ein begidin nosin tam, like categorically. Does the git hanasha have taste or not?
If you were to cook it on a pan, could you?
Halachic tam, I don't know.
So you could be a lamdan, which like the Maram Chalava. The Maram Chalava says ein nefareish de tanoi pligi begidin el acharam reish nosin tam acharam ein behen da. He says, that's not the type of thing post can argue about. Just give it to someone to taste. give it to a non-Jew to taste. And figure it out. Like, what is this Metzius machlokas, right? Post can argue a theory and Metzius can figure it out.
Right?
Meaning, do you say yes it has Tom? No, do you say the Tom is usher or the Tom is not?
Correct. That's exactly how he understands it. He says, what does it mean? He means, he says, here's the thing. The git itself doesn't have Tom. The parts around it do have Tom. The machlokas is, are these things around the git halachically part of the git or not? So everyone agrees, that's how he understands it. Okay? Elamai. He's not the only shita here. The Rajba in 11. Now, I had a big machlokas with this with Rosenzweig once. I still maintain I'm right. I know many people who maintain I'm right. But I'll tell you both sides. The Rajba starts off with the same thing, which is Zumin Atema. I said, what, how could Poskim be arguing about that which a cook could taste? Mapita. So what does he say after the So let's skip down after the ellipsis. Right, the same thing. So first he suggests something like the Maram Chalava, but at the end, so the end he says as follows. He says, maybe elavali lo lefiya perisha sheni to begin asmo pligi yesh benosin tam asa shapir v'shem esfirlu the tam mashu lo samchin akfela hanal. He says, well, no, this is sort of a middle machlokes, which is everyone agrees that if there's any taste, it's very minimal. And what's their machlokes? Can you rely on akfela for a minimal taste? Mm-hmm. Right. So he's a cook, a non-Jewish cook in this case. Okay. So here, right, he's not so convinced. He's what does he seem to be saying?
Well, he's saying
you can have a machlokes. Well, sort of. You can have a machlokes where it's hard to determine.
Yeah.
Right? Now, but you look at the Orzarua. The Orzarua is very clear what he thinks about this. The Orzarua says as follows. In 12. And he says, he quotes a machlokes in the Tosefta, and he says, "The beitza pilpulin are in ketavlin, less biyomtel bechaim shalain v'sukim in the pilpulin figin tamon vade sharp medocha shel even." The Gemara has a machlokes about whether pepper loses its taste, which has certain nafkaminas for yomtov, whether you can do it before yomtov, not efshel asosomer of yomtov, etc.
Okay.
So three lines from the look at the second to last line. He says, "Dim kein b'hop pligi nechzan ani mefigin in lav." He says, I don't understand. How could you have a machlokas b'metzias? Just check. And what does he say? Miu alav tshuvei The Ashkan the Pligim Yesh, we can know some time. I'm love, the Lomri Nechzeanon. He says, now, prove to you that we can argue about Metzius. How do I know? Yesh, we can know Zendam, and we can know Zendam. Right? Of course, you can have a machlokish by Metzius. How do I know? The Gemara does. Right? The Yesh, we can. So, however you want to understand the Rosh, but it's clear you have two Vdeos. You have the Ram Chalava who says, no, that's not what Poskim argue about. But they argue about the theory. Practical application, somehow you figure it out. Right?
Right.
That's much more in the direction of there's halacha and then there's metzius. And metzius is not really the realm of poskim. You come up to agreement, everyone can figure out metzius. And then the Oros HaRuach says, no, why not? Poskim can argue about metzius. That's part of it. Or why not? Right? It's related conceptually to this question. Now it happens to be that in the Yerushalmi is pretty clear about this as well. The Yerushalmi has the following machlokes. Rabbi Yossi b'shem Rabbi Shimon Tani, Rabbi Shmuel ben Rabbi Bona, Rabbi Zeh Rabbi Shimon ben Lakish, Rabbi Shimon Rabbi Shmuel, Abba Rimana, Ozel Akesrin, Vishamiz Rabbi Chava Rabbi Zerah. Okay, there, that whole line. The Abba have Amr Le b'shem Rabbi Shmuel. Gefalt. The Gemara is talking about what things can be made into matzah and challah, and therefore what your chayv and challah. Those are the same things.
Okay.
Fine. There's a machlokas in the Gemara about rice. Okay, so three lines from the bottom. Tani Amar Rabbi Yochanan ben Yuri and Millet. Karam is chayves bechala. Rabbi Yochanan ben Yomar ba he lidei matzah vechametz. Rabban Amri ain a ba lidei matzah chametz. Why? Because Rabbi Yochanan thinks rice and millet can become chametz, and the chametz you can't. And then the Gemara says in a amazing line, v'yivdikua. What are they arguing about? Check. So the Gemara says al ikra b'dikaza in chalken. They're arguing about the check. Right? Rabbi Yochanan Amar Batkua Umatsua.
Which is the right check to use?
No! Rabbi Yochanan Amar Batkua Umatsua. Rabbi Yochanan checked and says, it becomes Chametz. V'Rabban Amri Batkua V'lo Matsua. So Shibali De Matsua Chametz.
Just check again.
What?
So what's the simple shot in Yerushalmi? Can you have a machlokas mitzius?
Sure. Yes.
Yes. Now, it happens to be that in this particular case, as much as I'd like to use this, because I really do think you can have a machlokas mitzius, I happen to think that's not pshat here. I was convinced, mayach was by my chavrusa, that that's not pshat here.
Really?
What's pshat here? But I have to be honest here, right? I would love to bring this as a raya, but it's not.
It's a question on the kind of check you can use.
No, it's not about the kind of check.
Did you do the same check?
No, that's not the machlokas.
So what's the
machlokas? Machlokas is as follows. Rice has a gluten-like protein that will allow rice to rise when you bake it. Will allow rice to rise, but it's not as strong as gluten, and therefore, it can never be baked, risen, because heat will make it collapse always, which means that you can make rice rise, but you can't bake rice risen. So my chavrusa argued that's the machlokas here. They checked it. It definitely rose. You can see that rice will rise, but you can't bake it, and they're arguing about... So I happen to be in this case, I'm going to go with the Ram Chalava esque, right? This is a lumdish machlokas. But the simple pshat, you read the Yerushalmi, the language is quite striking. But again, I think that's conceptually related. 14 through... I'm not going to read 14 through 17 inside, but I'll describe outside because I think this is related. If you want, we can go through it, but my tendency is to not think this. One of the things that will complicate this is that not everything which seems to be about Matthias is about Matthias. Right? This is a much bigger question, which is what if Chazal made a decision? Right? I'm talking about Psak. There's a bigger question. What if Chazal made a Psak based on a mistaken Matthias?
Yeah.
The classic case being the lice Shaila. Mm. Right? That Chazal said, you're not allowed to kill on Shabbos anything which procreates.
Right.
And they thought lice didn't procreate. I mean, it's about Chalukas in the Gemara.
Yeah.
So does that mean nowadays that you... That you can't kill lice. Right? That you can't kill lice.
Seemingly,
So this is a major machlokas. So some poskim will say, well, that's just probably Matthias, they're wrong. Some people will say, no, even if they're wrong, they're right, which is the Dor Ravi, which is Chazal determined the Matthias, and you can never change it.
The Shkia Gemara.
Fine.
Oh, yeah.
Other people will say, no, you don't understand. It didn't mean that they don't procreate. It means that you don't see them procreating. You just have to come up with a lumdish way of reinterpreting it. So this is conceptual related. It's an interesting shaila. It's about Nishtana Vateva and all that stuff. I want you to know that that exists. But let me... Okay. What time is it?
Does the Talmud ever say...
Okay, we got two.
Does the Gemara say Nishtana Vateva? Or is that Tosafot?
What?
Is that...
No, that's... The Gemara doesn't talk about Nishtana Vateva. Okay. But what I want to do next time, and then we'll maybe move on to something else, but you know, again, it looks long, but it's really not. I just gave you some English things to read. Like I said, in modern Psak, where I think this gets the thorniest, is the questions of not Metzius, but, like, not Metzius in the easily determinable Metzius, but psychological realities, mm-hmm. and policy decisions. And this is where we go slowly from this Shaila into the Das Torah world. Because, you know, very quickly, I gave you here a few sources which I don't want to get into extensively, but I gave it to you because they're conceptually part of the picture. Chazal also make claims about psychology, not just about Matthias. They make claims about psychology.
That's
like,
what I just kind of say.
Or the probably the most controversial one is Tal Vamesa Tam Dumilis Armalo. You know what?
Okay.
You know, I will have to explain this next week. So let me explain this next week.